We're going to be reading this morning from the 40th chapter of the book of Exodus. 40th chapter of the book of Exodus, going to look at the institution of the tabernacle, as the tabernacle was set up and the tabernacle worship was instituted. Here, I want to look this morning in, we'll start about verse 34 and read out the chapter, which is about five or six verses, 34 through 38, Exodus chapter 40. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. May not seem like a lot. You may not get a lot. I would pray that you would get a tremendous amount out of this scripture. But there, as I think about the tabernacle, as Moses and the children of Israel have constructed this tent of the congregation, is what Moses called it and what he named it, as they had built this according to God's specifications. And then you look in verse 34, the Bible says, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." If you'll study the tabernacle, I'm not going to get a lot into it this morning, but I just have a point or two or a highlight of the tabernacle that I'd like for you to think about this morning. Those of you that know, the tabernacle was basically consisting of three portions. You had the outer court, then you had the holy place as you would enter in through the veil. You would enter in into the holy place, and then you would go into the most holy place. And only the high priest was allowed to go into the most holy place, or the holiest of holies. Within this place, there was no artificial light. Within the holiest of holies, there was no artificial light. They were not allowed to have, there was a candlestick in the holy place, but there was no artificial light or man-made light that was allowed in to the holiest of holies. But yet, as they constructed it, the Bible said that God told them to make the timbers, to make it out of shittim wood, and then they were to overlay it with gold. And the Bible teaches, and I want you to think about this morning, as the glory of the Lord, is what verse 34 says, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I believe on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would go into the most holy place, there was not another light in there, but I believe it was lit. The Bible says the glory of the Lord filled it, and I believe as he went in there, the Bible says that the presence of God would come down and meet with them between the cherubims. And I believe that the place was illuminated with the glory of God. And can you imagine, as the glory of God shined in the most holy place, and it reflected off of the pure gold that had been overlaid on the shittim wood as it made up the room, and as it made up the walls and the veil and all the things that were there, the glory of God reflected and glistened. I believe that it glistened off of the walls. The light glistened. And it was just a beautiful scene, as we find here in verse 34. And you might get to that point and we think, boy, look what God had done. God did a wonderful thing. But also this morning, would like for you to turn to the 25th chapter of the book of Exodus, and we're going to find where God first speaks to Moses about the tabernacle. And I have a point this morning in the thought of the message that I want for you to get, and I would pray that you take this home with you and hold it throughout the week. The Bible says in verse 20, or chapter 25, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall receive my offering." Now, what we see in chapter 40, verse 34, that I read this morning, the culmination or the end of the tabernacle being set up and the glory of God filling it and all the beauty that was there, it did not start until people begin to bring God something. The Bible says in verse 2, and I want you to see this morning in verse 2 of Exodus 25, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring," who? Me. The Lord speaking to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they don't bring you, Moses, the offering, but that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. God was telling the children of Israel, I want you to bring me something that I can use. I want you to bring me something that I can use. And then he goes on and begins to tell all throughout the 25th chapter the things that he desires. The gold and the brass and the silver, the blue, the purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hairs, all the things that God desired, and that's what they were to bring. But God says in chapter or verse 2 of the 25th chapter of Exodus, you tell the children of Israel that I want them to bring something that I can use. And when they brought something of a willing heart and they gave it to God, they gave God something that he desired and something that God could use, God magnified himself in chapter 40, verse 34. You see the glory of God glistening there in the most holy place, off the walls as it was overlaid with gold. Why did it do that? Because they brought something and gave to God something he could use. Now, this morning, many times we look at things that we want to be and things that we aspire to be, and we want to give God certain things in our lives. But God desires things from us maybe that we don't necessarily want to on the beginning to give God. But God desires something from you and I this morning, as he did the children of Israel, that he can use. Now, if you'll think back at the time or in the future tense from where we're at this morning, at the time of the beginning of the tabernacle, as I told you last Sunday morning, the Bible said that God told them they were to bring the offering, but they were to bring it in a certain way, something that God could use. This morning, I believe that many times when things happen in our lives and we live our everyday walk of life and we are looking to give God the scraps of our life, it's sad this morning to say, but I believe that there are many people that are doing just exactly that. I believe they're giving God the remnants and the scraps. And let me give you just an example or two. I've known of people personally in my own personal life that they lived their life, their young life, their youth, of their strength of their life, and they lived it for their own self. But I've known of people that have gotten down into the twilight years of their life. People that have retired, people that have come to the age when they're getting ready to leave this lane of life. And then I've known of people wanting to try to get in the house of God and get right with God, and that's well and good. But you know, the Word of God tells me that we are to seek our Creator in the days of our youth before the evil days come upon us. Why is that, preacher? God desires us in our strength, and God desires us in our youth, and in our young years, that we might grow in the grace and the knowledge, that we might walk, that we might gain faith, that we might be able in our years and our lives to illustrate and to speak to people and to be a point of hope and a point of faith in the lives of other people. And I'm going to tell you what this morning, there is no way that you can be of the true hope and strength that you can be and that you ought to be to someone else that's going through a valley unless you went through a valley yourself. And yet, unless you've tried God and you've proven God and you know that God can bring you through, I was thinking as the choir was singing the song a while ago, He'll hold to my hand. This morning, I wish that we could tell the world that and they would believe that He'll hold to our hand. But the only way this morning that I can tell you from the very depths of my being to trust God is because I before you have trusted God. There's been times in my life before today when I've come to the end of myself and I've had to trust God. And I'm telling you this morning that God will not let you down and God will not fail you because He's always held on for me. He's always been there. He's always provided just exactly what I needed just in the very instance that I needed it most. When it looked as though there was no hope and no place to go and nowhere to turn, God was right there giving me what I needed. But you know what God desires of me? He desires of us something that He can use. Amen. So many times we say, well, preacher, I've got 20 minutes on Sunday morning. I've got 30 minutes on Sunday morning. I've got an hour on Sunday morning, and I'm going to give that to God. That may not be what God desires from you, because God may desire more in your life that He can use. Now, I want you this morning to certainly follow the thought that I have this morning if it's God's will. So many times we want to give God what we want to give God, but friend, God wants more than what we've got. God wants more than what we're giving Him. You look at what the Word of God says. God desired of Him gold and silver and brass and blue and purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skin, dyed red, and all the other things. And if you'll go on over here and you'll read of the account of the giving of the tabernacle, the Bible says that the children of Israel, they got so engulfed in giving God something He could use that Moses had to say, hold it! Quit giving! We've got more than enough now! They got so engulfed in giving something to God that God could use. Now, I'm not talking about what you put in an offering plate, because I think that that's very small compared to what God desires of us. I'm not saying our offerings are small, but what I'm saying is that our money takes a very low place on the totem pole in what God desires from you and I. God today desires that you and I would give Him our life, that we would give Him our heart, that we would give Him our time, that we would give Him our devotion, and that we would love Him with all that we are. So many people want to love God on Sunday morning, but they never think about Him the rest of the week. You're not giving God much you can use. I got to thinking today about Abraham. You know, Abraham was a great patriarch of faith. And I'm sure as Abraham looked back on his life and how God had blessed him with Isaac and all the things that he'd done and how God had delivered there on the mountain. And I wonder this morning, what caused him to be able at the end of his life to step back and to look and to say, God, You've been so gracious to me. And I want you this morning to turn with me in the book of Genesis, if we can find it very quickly this morning, in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. I want you to see something this morning. God, first of all, is not a respecter of persons. And what I mean by that is that God does not love me more than He loves you, or love you more than He loves me. God loves us all alike. God loves us all without respect. Then why is it that God uses one person so mightily, and He doesn't use another as mightily as another? You know why that is? It's not that God loves one over here more than He loves the other one, but it's because this one over here gave Him more He could use. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 12, look what He says in verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. And verse 2 says what? And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You know why God blesses and uses one more than He blesses and uses another one? Because one will give Him more than He can use. You say, preacher, I'd like to be a great soul winner for God. Then you better give Him some great material this morning that He can use. I'm not telling you this morning, Ten, that we're in competition to one another. Not at all. But I am this morning telling you that God, I believe, wants to use us all more than what He's using us. I believe that God wants to make more out of us than what we are today. There's a lot of times when people come to the church and they join the church. They'll get saved and join the church for baptism. And I've seen so many times, time after time, it seems like from that point on, people fail to grow like they ought to grow. And then you'll see one or two. I mean, they'll just take hold and they'll just grow and get strong, and God will use them. And before you know it, they're doing this for God and God's blessing over here. And why is that? That God will bless one and He doesn't bless another? Because one of them gave more to God that He could use than the other one did. There's a lot of people today that are sitting on the pews of our churches that want to give God the scraps of their life and expect God to make a great strong fortress out of the scraps of your life. God's not going to do that. You're going to have to give Him some good material that He can work with. You want to be strong in faith? Give Him your life. You want to be a fortress when the winds blow and when the storms begin to come, that the wages of sin and Satan begins to beat against your foundation, that you can stand there unashamed and unafraid, and you can stand there unwavering, knowing that what God did before, God will do again. God will bless today. God will deliver today. Why is it today that some people can be so strong in the faith and in the Word of God? Why is that that some are so knowledgeable of the Word of God and others don't seem to be as knowledgeable in the Word of God? They haven't given the material that God can use. God desires of you something that He can use. He told Moses, you tell the children of Israel, this is what I want. I want the silver and I want the gold and I want the brass. They didn't stand there and look and say, now how am I going to make up for this? How am I going to make up for what I'm giving to God? They got so engulfed in building
them something for God. They said, God, Moses told them. He said, God told me he's going to build a tabernacle. He wants us to bring the provisions and the materials that he can make this tabernacle. And friends, you know what? I believe they begin to realize what the purpose of it all was. The Bible said that God told Moses, he said, the reason I want to make this tabernacle and this tent of the congregation is that I may come down and I may dwell with you. I want to be with you. I want to be close to you. I want to bless you. I want to be amongst your presence. But you've got to do what I want you to do. You've got to give me something that I can use. I want to build something strong. I want to build something right. I want to build something that will shine. But I've got to get the materials from you. I need something from you that I can use. What have you given God this week that God could use to build something? Look at your life today. I don't at all mean to be critical, and I'm not going to be judgmental. I'm not going to stand here and judge one against another. That's not for me to do. You today stand and let God look at your life, and you stand and compare yourself to the Word of God and what a Christian ought to be. It amazes me. Sometimes you can talk to people, you can talk to lost sinners, and they're not afraid to tell you what a Christian ought to be. They know what a Christian ought to be. But you talk to the typical church member today, and they act like they've got no idea what a church member and what a Christian ought to be. A Christian ought to be full of love. A Christian ought to be, as our lesson was this morning, full of forgiveness and full of mercy and full of meekness. What should a church member and a Christian be? The world will tell you, my preacher, a Christian ought to be full of love, and they ought to be full of zeal, and they ought to be on fire for God. They ought to know the book. They ought to be at the house of God. They ought to live upright. They shouldn't cheat and steal. They ought to live upright before the world. They ought to be a law-abiding citizen. They ought to be upright before the world. And friend, today, you can talk to most church members, and they'll say, why, preacher, it doesn't matter about this, and it doesn't matter about that. You know why today we say it doesn't matter? Because we're not willing to give something God can use. I look around at all the forefathers and the patriarchs that come before me. Why is it God blessed Abraham? Why did God bless Noah? Why did God bless Paul? Why did God bless Peter? Why did God bless those men and he didn't bless others? Because they gave all they were to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to walk through this land and rather come up half-heartedly and half-rewarded and half-pleasing when I get before God. Boy, I tell you what, we've got a race to run this morning, and the only way we can do it and be effective is when we let God make something of us. We quit trying to work it out and build it up ourselves and give God the material that he desires in our own personal life, and let God make of us an example to a lost and dying world. God didn't tell Abraham. He said, Abraham, you'll build yourself. You'll make yourself. He said, I'll make you. I'll make thee a great nation. Why did he say that to Abram? Because he knew what he had. He knew what he was. He knew what he'd give. He knew his heart. Why did he take Paul and make such a great New Testament preacher out of Paul? Because God knew Paul's heart. God knew that Paul would love him and would work for him and fight for him the same as he did when he was in Satan's camp. He knew that with all the love and all the zeal and all the fire that he had when he was working for Satan, he knew that he would love him. As soon as his heart was converted, God knew that Paul would love him with all of his heart, would work with the same zeal and determination and have the same fire in him for God as he had for Satan before he got saved. This morning, friend, God knows you and I. The reason today a lot of us are going to come up, the reason so many folks are going to come before God when they stand before him on judgment and they're going to be ashamed of their life, it's because they never gave God anything he could use. Oh, you give him the scraps of your life. You give him what the leftovers are. You give the stuff that you'd scrape out and put in the garbage, whatever was left over. God desires our whole heart. God desires our waking moment. It amazes me this morning, friend. People say, oh, preacher, I'd like to get closer to God. If you mean that this morning, you know what you're going to do? You're going to draw nigh unto God. That's what the Word of God says. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore. Then you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Then you draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Know why so many people are out of the will of God today and they're not on fire for God as they ought to be? They've never denied themselves and they've never resisted the devil. They're leaning on the excuse of, oh, preacher, I can't. I'm weak in the flesh. You may be, I am too. But brother, I'll tell you what, when I walk in the Spirit, brother, there I'm invincible. And I don't mean that braggingly this morning. I'm bragging on Him. It's nothing I've done. But as long as I stay in the carnal flesh, I'm saying I can't, I don't think I can, I don't know how, and I always walk in that kind of an attitude, I'll never do one thing for God. I'm not giving God nothing He can use. You know what God wants from you and me and you? He wants us to believe in the Word of God. He wants us to say that I can't, but through Him I can do all things. If I'll trust in Him, I'll let Him lead and I'll follow Him and I'll submit myself to His will for my life. There's not a mountain too high that I can't go up. There's not a valley too low that I can't come through. There's not a river too wide that I cannot cross. There's not a hospital stay too long that I can't come through by the grace of God. All things are possible. Brother, when we believe God and we walk according to His will, there's nothing that will stop us as God's people. And friend, you can stand there with your house on the foundation. You can stand there with your foot on the rock, looking Satan in the face, saying, maybe you think that I can't, but in my Lord I can. And get out of the way. We're going on. We're going to build something for God when we give God the materials that He desires and something He can use. But I'll tell you what, He'll glisten when it's all said and done. The glory of God will be illuminated when it's all said and done. But we've got to be willing to give God the materials that He can use in His hand. What have you given God that He can use? Did you give Him the scraps of your life? God ain't going to build much out of that. You know, I remember as a kid, we'd get out and a bunch of us in the neighborhood and we'd hunt and scratch and anything we could was to build. If we was going to build a tree house or a clubhouse or whatever we was going to build, you know, we never did have very much. I mean, it wasn't like we could go down to the lumber yard and buy a bunch of 2x4s and lumber and build us something strong. We had to get the scraps. We'd go around out behind where Dad's wood pile was at and we'd get little cuts of 2x4 and this and that and cardboard and everything else, and boy, we'd put it together. You stand there and shake it. It seemed pretty steady. Seemed pretty strong, made out of cardboard and bits and pieces of scrap of 2x4 and sticks and twigs. You know what? We'd play out there as long as the sun shined. But when it started to get cloudy, we'd have to go inside and the storms would blow up. You'd go back out after the rain and the cardboard that seemed so strong and so sturdy while the sun was shining, it wasn't there. The cardboard had gotten soggy and fallen apart. A lot of people today are building their Christian lives that way. A scrap here and a scrap there and a piece there and a piece there and a piece of cardboard and I'll patch this. God's not in the patching business. God's not in the scrap business. God says, I want the best you got. I'm not telling you God can't build whatever He desires out of whatever He desires to, but I am telling you that if you're going to be serious with God, you're going to open your heart. God says, I want gold. You're going to bring the gold. God says, I need the silver. You're going to bring the silver. God says, I need the brass. And then I'll tell you what, you go and read that scriptures. Read those accounts of the tabernacle. And you know what God did? God took ordinary men and He filled them with the Holy Ghost. He filled them with the Spirit. And He led them to the points of understanding that they might devise great works of craftiness, that they might devise great works of engraving, that they might devise great works of craftsmanship and building. God blessed it when the people gave it and it got built. And you say, preacher, what are you trying to say this morning? I want you to look at your life this morning. I'm not trying to judge anybody's life. I want you, when you come before the Lord, not to be ashamed of what you've built, what you've sent up. The materials that you've sent before, I don't want you to have to be ashamed. When you come down and Satan throws those fiery darts around your feet, I don't want you to have to stand there and be ashamed because of a lack of faith and a lack of strength and a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. He tells us to get rooted and grounded and settled in the Word of God, established, that we can know, brother, that He's alive. And we can know this morning that He's working in my life and that everything's what it ought to be. I give you materials that He can use. What have you give God that he can use this week? Have you had a lot of time? Let me ask you this. How much time have you spent with your nose in the Word of God? Oh, preacher, I got my Sunday school lesson read. You didn't give God much he could use this week, did you? I'm not getting on anybody this morning. I want to encourage you. I want you to take this in the tone of encouragement. You've got to give God something that he can use. God, I want to be a quality Christian. You know what he says? You're going to have to give me quality material. You're going to have to give me quality time. You're going to have to give me a quality mind. You're going to have to give me quality openness. You're going to have to give me quality willingness. You're going to have to give me quality materials. That's all I can work with is what you give me. Oh, I can make great Christians. And you wonder today why in the world that our churches are in the shape that they're in and our nation is in the shape that it's in. We've lost our forefathers. I don't mean that derogatorily toward anybody this morning, but we are not what our forefathers were. We are not what our moms and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers and those that trailed before us were. Anymore, folks look for anything in the world they can get mad about. They look for anything in the world they can fall out of church over. They look at anything in the world that they can get upset about. That's not giving God quality. Ain't no wonder there ain't much quality in your life. Amen? You want to be a quality Christian, you got to give God some quality material. No, getting quiet this morning. What have you give God that he can use? Do you want to come to the end of the way? What do you want your house to look like? When you come into that valley of tribulation and that valley of trial that you've got to go through and I've got to go through, what do you want the house to be on? What kind of a house do you want to portray to the world? A house of fear? A house of turmoil? A house of doubt? Or do you want to stand there and say, I know my God? I know him. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Against that day, I ain't worried about it. You say, preacher, that's the kind of Christian I like to be. Then you're going to have to give him some quality material. What have you give God that he can use? What have you give God that he can use? You say, preacher, I haven't done a whole lot for God this week. And I believe when we all start looking at our lives, we'll find room to move up. Preacher, I could have been more on fire for God this week than I was. Then how do you get there? By giving God quality material. By submitting yourself unto God. Not getting so caught up in the things of this life and so caught up in the things of this world. But saying, God, you're in control and I'm just going to walk. I want to shine whether anybody else does or not. Lord, I want to grow whether anybody else does or not. Lord, I want to be strong in the Word of God whether anybody else is or not. That's my desire. And you know what? When you start, the more you start giving to God, the more you're going to want to give to God. Let me drive this nail and then I'm going to try to close. So, preacher, what do you mean? The more that you give to God, the more you're going to want to give to God. There's been times in my life when I would sit down to read the Word of God. My heart wasn't what it should have been. My attitude wasn't what it should have been. And it was difficult for me to sit down and read a chapter or to even read a verse. Amen. But when I truly started saying, God, show me, teach me, learn me, God, of you. The more that you study, the more you want to study. The more you read, the more you want to read. The more you pray, the more you want to pray. The more you talk, the more you want to talk. You're giving God some quality materials, and God will use it. See, that's what happened to the children of Israel. He said, hey, God wants an offering of you. God wants his offering of you. And they started bringing the gold, the brass, the silver, and all the things. And finally, they got to looking at the storehouse, and they said, that's enough. That's enough. And they were still bringing it. Whoa, that's enough. Stop. Now this morning, friend, God wants to build something. I really do believe this with all my heart. God wants to, first of all, build something in my life. He wants to build it in yours. God wants to build a tower of strength right in your life. God wants to make you a Christian like the forefathers were, like Grandma and Grandpa used to be, and Mom and Dad, and whoever it is that you may hold up high in your mind and your heart this morning and in great regard as a Christian. God wants to make you out of that just like they were. God wants to make a crier out of you. A lot of people say, "Oh, preacher, I don't want to cry. Shame on you."
Amen.
Said this a lot of times. If you don't want them, Lord, you know who they are. Just send them this way.
Amen.
Lord, if they don't want to cry, give them to me. I want them. I'll cry them. I'm not ashamed and afraid to cry them. Lord, give them to me. I want them. God wants to make a testifier out of you. You might say, "Oh, preacher, I've never testified in my life." God wants to make one out of you. But you know what? You've got to give Him some material. God wants to make a prayer warrior out of you. But you've got to give Him some materials He can use. I believe this morning with all of my heart, I really do, and I'm going to close. I believe that God's people, down deep inside, you've got a desire to please Him. Once you've been saved, I believe there's a deep-seated desire down in your heart that you want to be pleasing and acceptable to God. A lot of times it's way down in there. Sometimes it takes a long time for us to get it out. But I believe in every child of God, He puts a desire for us to want to, that we want to please Him. How have we built upon that? How have we let that surface? You know what? Mom and Dad was saved the same way that you and I were. Grandma and Grandpa, that great patriarch in your life that had that great example in your life, they were saved the same way. God didn't just save them and put them on a plateau and they just started shouting. They shouted all their life. That's not how it works. Little by little, they deny themselves. You see, what most of us see, and what I remember, those great patriarchs in my life, I got to see just the last portion of that life. I got to see maybe the last 8 or 10 years of that life. But you know what? I didn't see the previous maybe 50 or 60 or 70 years of that life. I didn't see the growth that they went through. What I saw was the magnificence and the glory of God as it glittered in their life. I didn't see the building process as it went. But you know what they did? They got saved just like I did. They learned to pray just like I did. They learned to grow just like I did. They learned to sin and to deny sin in their life just like I did. And you know what? At the end of the way, they were standing there saying, "Look what good things God's done. Oh, look what great things God has done in my life." And that inspired me that I want that. I want that in my life. I believe you do too. I believe you do too. But you know what? It takes a point in your life where you start giving God the materials that He can use instead of the scraps and the little twigs and the little scraps of two before. Give God the material He can use. Get you a song, Brother Dean. Some invitation song this morning. If you're here this morning and you're lost and undone, let me say this. In order for you to be saved this morning, you're going to have to give God something also He can use. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" God's going to have to require of you and does require of you a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You're going to have to get honest with God today that you're lost and there is no hope within yourself of being saved and your only hope is Calvary. If you're here today and you're a child of God and you know you've been saved but you have not grown in the knowledge and the grace of God as you should have, then today's the day to start. There's not a better day than right now. You can't start yesterday. You may not have tomorrow. It's time today to start to give God the materials that He can use in our life. While we stand this morning, something God can use. Have you given your best? Have you offered Him your best? Have you just gotten by? You just tried to get by, and you wonder why you're tossed to and fro. You've just done enough to get by, and you wonder why there's no joy in your life. There's joy, child of God. There is peace when you give God materials that He can use. You want peace in your life? You want the joy of God? Give Him an upright cup and see if He won't fill it. Give Him an open heart and an open life and see if He'll not fill it this morning. The building process. God this morning says, you know, I can use a little more of your time. Will we stand and say, but God, I'm so busy now? Or will we say, Lord, a little more time you've got. You want a little more time for me? God, I'll willingly give it. That's material He can use. I want more of your mind. I want more of your understanding. Give it to me. God, I'll give it willingly this morning. God can use. Many people today say, preacher, I want to be a soul winner. I want to be a mighty soldier in the army of God. You know what the Lord told Peter and Andrew when He called them? He walked by and they were fishing, and He said, boys, what did He say? You come follow me, and what? You'll become fishers of men? I will make you fishers of men. Come on, boys, follow me. I need some material. Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. You'll not make yourselves. I'm not going to send you to college to learn how to do it. I'm not going to let you talk to Grandma and Grandpa. That's not what I'm interested in. You come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And oh, what a great harvest. What a great catch of fish. I'm not talking about fish with fills and fins and gills like we know. Fishers of men. I will make you. So many people will say, preacher, this is what I want to be. God didn't ask you what you wanted to be. He didn't ask me what I wanted to be. I'm going to tell you right now, that's one thing in my life I did not want to be as a preacher. I made my mind up a long time ago when I was growing up, been around that stuff all my life. My dad been preaching all my life. That's all I ever know was church. And I done had my mind made up I wasn't going to preach. But you know what? That was different from God's plan. God said, Derek, come follow me. You know what? Well, I tell you what, how foolish my words were. I'm so glad God looks at us in ignorance and says, I know what you're saying. You're ignorant. You ain't understanding what you're saying, boy. You don't understand what you're saying. Forbearing, long-suffering. Because, oh, now I look at me and I think, God, you should have struck me down right then. How foolish I was. Now I'm so glad where I'm standing at. It's nothing I've done, but it's all glory be to God. Same way in your life, folks. I'm telling you that when you'll give what God desires in your life, you can stand there and say, there ain't a better place in the world. There ain't another place I want to be. Not another place in the world I want to be than where I'm at right now in service to God. I hope this morning that everybody's happy. I hope that you're right in the center of God's will. But if you're not, this message is spoke to your heart today and God sent it your way, then I pray that you take it. I pray that you'd examine the house that you're building and that you would examine the materials that you're using and you're letting God have in your life. See if you can't do just a little better. I believe you can. I believe instead of just settling for scraps, I believe you look at your life with an open heart and you'll say, God, you know, I can give you a little bit better material than that. See what God will do with it.